This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
There's news a second vaccine could get submitted today for approval by government regulators. I'm David Brancaccio. Today, a second coronavirus vaccine gets filed for FDA approval. Moderna of Massachusetts now claims 94% effectiveness, and that for people who get the shot, of the few who got COVID still, none developed severe symptoms, suggesting this could really help reduce hospitalizations as well. Thing is, new coronavirus deaths are up 26% in 2 weeks, 818 yesterday alone. Economist Julia Coronado is with Macro Policy Perspectives.
The near term keeps getting darker, even as the not too distant future keeps looking brighter. So Thanksgiving will, without a doubt, exacerbate what's already a pretty intense spread of the virus. That's going to require limitations on activity and shutdowns. That's going to hurt the economy. Meanwhile, in just a few months, we can start to see the possibility of a widespread access to vaccines that could begin to get us back to more normal levels of activity. So quite the stark contrast at the moment between the near term and the medium term.
Economist Julia Coronado, the S&P 500 stock index is starting the trading day down about 0.4%. The Dow is down 259 points, 0.9%. The NASDAQ is down 0.1%. We're also covering what is shaping up to be the biggest merger of the year. Two famous business data firms, S&P Global and IHS Markit, for serious money, $44 billion. Regulators will have to review. S&P dates back to 1860. And for the record, there was a Mr. Poor, Henry Varnum Poor, but there was no Mr. Standard. Mr. Poor bought the Standard Statistics Company in 1923. What happens to the big shopping day of the year during pandemic? The data's in. Foot traffic at stores was down by about half on Friday, according to Sensormatic Solutions. Meanwhile, online sales went up 22%, according to Adobe Analytics. Mariel Segarra, who covers retail for us, is here. Mariel, what do you see in these numbers?
I mean, the foot traffic numbers are not really surprising. A lot of people stayed home, maybe because they didn't want to deal with crowds during a pandemic, or because this is what retailers have been telling them to do. The major retailers like Target and Walmart and Best Buy all set things up so they wouldn't have huge crowds at their stores on Black Friday. They started giving discounts early, like October in some cases, and they also encouraged people to buy online and just pick up in stores or at the curb to minimize contact.
Right. And for online, an increase of 22% year over year, that's significant.
It is. What we don't know yet, though, is whether that combined with the early shopping people are doing will make up for the sales that didn't happen in stores this Black Friday. Also worth noting, that jump in online sales is putting a big strain on a system that wasn't really ready for it. It's just a lot more packages going to people's houses. Actually, Bloomberg reported recently that UPS and FedEx are trying to get a hold of more delivery vans, and retailers have been telling people to shop early just in case of any shipping delays. Although, given everything that's going on and the fact that many people won't be seeing their families for the holidays, it might not really matter if the gifts arrive a couple days late.
Mariel, thanks.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Immigrants in the U.S. sent about $150 billion back to their home countries. That's 2017 data. For some countries, that money adds up. Remittances. Take El Salvador, where their money from people who are abroad is about 20% of the economy. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports.
Karen Rivera is a hairdresser at a salon in Brooklyn. There are some clients, she says, but business is down by around 60% since the pandemic. And yet, Rivera says she still sends about $300 a month back home to her family in Nicaragua. She says her family lost their jobs back home because of the pandemic. With fewer clients, she can't send as much as she used to, but she hasn't missed a payment yet. According to the Pew Research Center, although remittances to Latin America dropped sharply around April, they spiked over the summer. Immigrants from Mexico and the Dominican Republic have actually been sending more money than before. Mark Hugo Lopez directs global migration and demography research at Pew. He says, think about essential industries, grocery stores, meatpacking plants. A lot of those are largely powered by immigrants.
Showed that the foreign-born were starting to recover jobs more quickly than the U.S.-born when the economic downturn really hit back in April.
And context is important. While the situation here in the U.S. is dire, it can be worse back home. NYU professor Roy Germano is the author of the book Outsourcing Welfare.
A lot of what drives remittance flows is not just the supply of money that migrants have to send, but also the demand that their friends and family members back home have for a safety net.
He expects remittances to continue to grow, but not everyone agrees. Dilip Ratha, an economist focusing on remittances at the World Bank, says many migrants from Latin America who went back to work are starting to lose their jobs again.
My sense is that going into 2021, there will be a significant decline in remittance flows, and that would be about, according to our projections, a decline of 8.1%.
He says that's going to seriously impact the well-being of people in receiving countries. Back in the hair salon in Brooklyn, Karen Rivera worries about not being able to send her family money past the holidays. She says she's been dipping into her savings to send money back home and take care of herself. She says by December, that money will run out. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.